For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Farm Arts Collective opens their new barn at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm with a blessing from the Lenape Nation's chief, Gentle Moon. Clanmother Shelley inspires us to attend the July 6th workshop on her knowledge sharing of indigenous plants hosted by Farm Arts Collective on the site of the Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm along the Delaware River in Pennsylvania. All of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report coming up on Farm and Country after news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Biden is due in the Hamptons this afternoon. He's to headline a couple of campaign fundraisers in New York and another in New Jersey this evening as top Democrats close ranks around him following Thursday's debate. And with former President Trump facing fitness questions of his own, NPR's Stephen Fowler reports on a group that could help determine the outcome in a close election this November.
There's these people out there called double haters who don't like Trump or Biden, and they're deciding more if they vote at all in this rematch of 2020, because it's a rematch, so the undecided factor is not, oh, who's this Trump guy? Who's this Biden guy? Polls right now show these voters, which cut across the wide coalition that elected Biden the first time, younger voters, non-white voters, they could be the ones that make or break who wins in states like North Carolina that'll be close, so that's who they have to reach in the next 4 months.
The far right remains in the lead ahead of tomorrow's first round vote for the French parliament. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports on fears that France could change its international commitments.
National Rally Party President Jordan Bardella has sought to quell fears that France might end its support to Ukraine if the right is elected, assuring voters his government would not tamper with France's international commitments or standing. But Martin Cancet, head of the German Marshall Fund's Paris office, says it's in their interest to look as normal as possible during the campaign.
Basically try to say that they have a position that is close to a mainstream right-wing party, have as large a coalition on the right with the far right as possible.
But he believes once in power, the far right would be more radical. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Actor Alec Baldwin's trial is on track to begin next month after a judge in New Mexico rejected a request to dismiss the case against him. Baldwin faces a manslaughter charge after a cinematographer was fatally shot on the film set of the movie Rust in 2021. Later this summer, the Environmental Protection Agency plans to roll out a new solar program. NPR's Julia Simon reports on the Solar for All program, which aims to expand solar for low-income Americans.
Rooftop solar prices can be steep, a median cost of $30,000 before government incentives. The new EPA program will give $7 billion to programs across America that fund solar programs for low-income homes, rooftop solar, batteries for solar, and solar farms that send energy to multiple households. Experts say the money is a big deal in two ways. Switching from fossil fuels to solar is a key way to reduce planet heating pollution, and solar energy can reduce low-income families' electric bills and allows people to run the air conditioner and stay safe in heat waves. The EPA expects the program to help over 900,000 households. Julia Simon, NPR News.
And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. On today's show, Farm Arts Collective opens their new barn at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm with a blessing from the Lenape Nation's chief, Gentle Moon. Clanmother Shelley inspires us to attend the July 6th workshop on her knowledge sharing of indigenous plants hosted by the Farm Arts Collective at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm along the Delaware River in Pennsylvania. And we top off our show with Keith Hubbard's patriotic Star Talk report on the red, white, and blue stars visible in this week's evening sky. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
Welcome to this new barn at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm, our 25-acre solar-powered organic vegetable farm that Tanis Falk, Chuck, and I started in 2008. My name is Greg Schwartz, and it is such a pleasure to have everyone here to celebrate this new building. This barn is a demonstration of our commitment to organic farming, to art, and to our community.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Tanis Kowalczuk, and I'm the founding artistic director of Farm Arts Collective, which we formed in 2019. And I'm just so excited to welcome you to what we've been working on for many years, to have a space that we can call an agricultural center. And that's what this place is. So, as part of our ribbon cutting ceremony, we have with us a good friend of the farm and of Farm Arts Collective, Chief Gentlemoon from the Lenape Nation of Pennsylvania, who is going to open today's ceremony.
I want to speak for a moment about the good connection with these fine people that our people have developed. Every 4 years, we do a river journey along our ancient river. We are descendants of the original people of this area. In this area up here, it would be Munsee people. Further south is Unami, and by the tidewaters is Unalachtigo. We were all independent villages known as Lenape. This is our territory known as Lenape Hoking, our homeland. We are the Lenape Nation of Pennsylvania. There are many groups throughout North America, both those in diaspora and those still in the homelands. And we have a prophecy. Prophecies for indigenous people are always related to animals. So in our case, we related this prophecy to the crows, as we know them, Ahasak. And the first crow during that time lived in harmony with nature. And the second crow, there was a fox let loose on the land, and he got sick and died. The third crow saw what happened to his older brother, and he went into hiding. The fourth crow could see that Mother Earth was in pain and that she needed healing, and that there was a great time of reconciliation between all peoples of humankind. And we're in that time now of the fourth crow. So it's in the honor of that prophecy and the honor of all good things that happen as they do, that Tanis contacted me, I think it was like 2 days before the journey started a few years back, and said, hey, we have this place you can stop at. And, you know, Indians, we appreciate really good food. I know you can't tell by looking at me, but we do appreciate the food, and they gave us a great spread when we came here, and so we'll be back. But I want to open the ceremonies here with an opening prayer to pay respects to the ancestors that were here before me, to the elders that have taught me these words, and to the thoughts of my grandchildren's grandchildren that still aren't here, that hopefully will know these words when they get here. So what I'd like to do is I will pray in Lenape and give you a quick translation. I'd like to ask that this prayer is not recorded. Put your devices down for a minute and just talk to your creator, talk to your relatives.
Kasri.
Hi, Kasri. We were just talking about the Lenape blessing, which I didn't record respectfully, but you speak a little bit of Lenape. Tell me.
I just know a little bit. Ilanku Mankwa, Wanishi Anishi. And every time I go to the river, I put my hands in the water and I say Wanishi Anishi, which is thank you, you're welcome. Ilan Kumankwa, we are all related.
Thank you. That's beautiful. You say it very well, like music.
My name is Tanis Kowalczuk, and I am the founding artistic director of Farm Arts Collective. And we opened a brand new permanent building, a barn, right here on Willowisp Organic Farm, where our old greenhouse used to be. And so we're just so excited to open an agricultural center on this farm and devote our energies and time and our programming and our activism to all things related to farming, art, food, and ecology. Welcome the community here. It's an ADA accessible space. We have beautiful bathrooms. We have a beautiful kitchen. We have a to-become amazing performance space as well. And so we're raising money. That's the next step. So we can really be here with this like state-of-the-art venue. Our performers are the heart and soul, all the people, the farmers, the performers, the scientists, the people here make the collective. The collective is truly a dynamic beast.
Congratulations. You waited and worked a long time, many long, hard days and nights. Weeks, months, years. Congratulations. Welcome to your new home.
Thank you, Rosie.
Something good is gonna happen. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is gonna happen. Gonna happen in any day. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is gonna happen. Gonna happen in any day. Something good. Something good.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr speaking online with Shelley DePaul. She's going to talk about an event that's happening at Willowisp Organic Farm on Saturday, June 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. on the site of Willowisp Organic Farm. Clan Mother Shelley DePaul will present a workshop on her research and knowledge of Lenape horticulture, conservation, landscaping, and medical plant practices. Shelley has published 3 books, Conversations in the Lenape Language, Ethnobotany of the Lenape People and Other Eastern Tribes, Book 1, Herbs and Flowers, and Book 2, Trees, Nuts, and Berries. The proceeds from this workshop will go to the Lenape Nation of Pennsylvania. Shelley DePaul sits on the Council of the Lenape Nation of Pennsylvania as clan mother, keeper of the language, and treaty signer liaison. As treaty signers with the Lenape Nation of Pennsylvania, Farm Arts Collective and Willowisp Organic Farm are pleased to welcome clan mother Shelley back to the farm in friendship and solidarity with the tribe's important work. Shelley, welcome to our airwaves. Welcome to the Farm and Country program for Radio Catskill. Hey, Tamiki.
Tamike, welcome.
Shelley, I'd like to start out by asking you, how did you learn about the Lenape horticulture, conservation, landscaping, and medicinal plants practices?
That's sort of a long journey. I learned from my elders. I live up here in the Poconos, and I do a lot of foraging. I always have done a lot of foraging. So I learned quite a bit just by practice. Of course, I studied. We do have Lenape teachers, Nora Thompson Dean and others, elders, that have published some information on medicinal plants. And there's a book out by Gladys. She really has quite a bit in there, too. it's not just Lenape, it's other indigenous tribes from the area. So I've studied Iroquois, other Algonquin tribes, Cherokee, Meskwaki, some of the Algonquin tribes from Canada. I've had quite a bit of literature as well that I've looked through, but most of it's basically just been, you know, going out there and learning the plants, spending time with them. Part of my knowledge came from my work with the language. My work with the language involves revitalization, which means, you know, bringing the language back to the point where it can be spoken, and what decisions do we make so that the language realistically can be carried on. And one of the things that was lost, not completely, but to a great degree, were the names of plants. So part of my project had to do with researching and finding as many names for plants as I could and coming up with names that we had lost. You know, that involved quite a process when it comes to plants. To us, they are our relations, and as are all the nations of the planet. We don't look at creation as geographical units of human beings. To us, it's all of the nations that were created. So the plants, the winged ones, the four-leggeds, the creepy crawlers, the sea creatures, and the plants as well. And we treat all of those nations as brothers and sisters. So, you know, this is something that I was taught by my elders. And when it comes to communing with plants, it's the same as you would with any, you know, you show them the same respect that you would any of your other relations, human being or otherwise. So there's a lot that's involved with that as far as foraging and collecting medicinal herbs and that kind of thing. But when it came to naming the plants that did not have names, it was a process of speaking to the plant, asking what would you like to be called, looking at the medicinal properties, how does it smell, how does it look, what did other Algonquin tribes call it. So it was quite a long process of just taking some time with each plant and deciding what would be a good name for it as well. So that was also part of the process of putting together the ethnobotany.
You're talking about the relationship that the Lenape have with medicinal plant qualities, the respect and spiritual associations, cultural practices, and gathering processes. What can the participants expect to experience from the workshop? How do you plan to present this knowledge on July 6th at Farm Arts Collective?
Mostly it will just be discussion and talking about a couple of things. It'll be talking about medicinal plants, but it will also be talking about, in this day and age, how can we practice conservation landscaping, for example. You know, so many people, you know, would like to have a garden in their yard, and then they just go with traditional methods and traditional plants and petunias and tulips. And so I like to raise a lot of awareness about how you can introduce native plants to your garden. I share knowledge about how to do that in a wet property, how to do a rain garden. I also talk about indigenous plants. If you're a person interested in dyeing, there are certain native plants that you can use for those purposes. So the main thing is to make people aware of all of the wonderful qualities and aesthetic value, as well as medicinal and conservational value of the plants. And most of my workshops deal a lot with question and answer. So, you know, I'm not very formal when it comes to that. I like to gear my workshops toward, you know, what the people that are there are interested in, helping them to achieve the goals they would like to achieve. And then, you know, providing them with information they may not have had about how easy it is to introduce native plants into your life in whatever way you'd like to do that.
Well, your knowledge sharing is very important, and it sounds like an excellent benefit to the community, and especially that you have knowledge of the environmental aspects of Will-O-Wisp Farm. Specifically, it is along the Delaware River, and we have four seasons of weather, and sometimes that field gets very wet. And yes, it sounds like you have knowledge specifically to the participants of this workshop. Do you think that you'll be sharing some of the Lenape language with this?
Oh, sure. That's always a possibility. I'll bring my ethnobotany books along and refer to different sections of them, but also the names of the plants that are in there. So I can provide those, you know, I can provide the names of the plants. I'm going to leave one up there for Tanis, too. She's been wonderful, Will-O-Wisp, she and Greg, with hosting us on our river journeys. All of us just stay there at the farm and watch her performances, and she's just very welcoming to us. So it'll just be nice. I haven't really seen her since the last river journey, 2022.
Yeah.
So it'll be really nice to see Tanis again. And as I said, I like to speak with the people at the workshop. It's usually a back and forth type of conversation. So I like to gear it toward what they are. So you never know where the conversation will meander off. I do have, you know, basic things I want to present, but then after that, we can talk about, you know, they may want to know, you know, what they can do in their own individual circumstance. And so we may get off on that as well. So we'll see.
Sounds like an interactive workshop with the participants. How did the Lenape people observe the seasons? Since there were no calendars, what did they use as a planting guide for planning their gardens?
Well, they basically just observed. They knew migrations of birds. They knew, you know, when the frogs came out of the mud, you know, there are all different kinds of ways. But I mean, the Lenape people have lived in this area for 13,000 years, at least. That's what archaeological evidence proves. You know, so they've been around to observe the seasons for many, many, many years. So they know when spring comes, they know what time to plant. And that's going to depend because we live in the mountains. So I live up here in the Poconos, and our planting season is going to be a little different than people who live down in the Lehigh Valley, than people who live up, you know, on the upper river near Will-O-Wisp. So there are quite a few, you know, different ways that they would know when it was time to plant. You know, they also practice a procedure whereas you can extend your planting season or start it earlier by using hot rocks or fixing your garden in such a way as to provide the heat or moisture necessary for certain plants. They had ways of doing that.
What else would you like to add to this conversation, and what can folks do to learn more on this subject?
It's always good to come to a workshop from an indigenous person who is reputable. There's a lot of stuff out there that you have to be really careful with, because I like to watch YouTube videos to see what's out there and who's doing what. And I'm kind of amazed that some of these people are saying, oh yeah, plant Mayapple, it's so beautiful, and they're doing it ornamentally, but they don't even have a disclaimer on there about the toxicity of it and that kind of thing. So I would say, just first of all, there's always a disclaimer to never go out and forage or collect anything unless you are with someone who really knows what they're doing, unless you've, even if it's a safe plant, check to make sure you don't have allergies. You know, that disclaimer is always really important. But my main message, I think, and hope is that we really, really need, in this time of the earth and what's going on, to make sure that our native plants are surviving. There's so much destruction to the environment, and there's a lot that people can do. Even if you just make a small garden, I work with people in the city, for example, who don't have a large space. So we'll just make a, you know, 8x8 raised bed garden, and they can plant some button bushes in there and some bee balms and some butterfly bushes and, you know, a variety of things. People think that, you know, oh, geez, what can I do? One bush, plant one, you know, any little bit that you can do to keep our native plants going, because they know how to care for the environment, and it's a really important thing to do.
I think from what I've learned, the Lenape tapped the maple trees and got some of that sugar water, and perhaps that was their sugar intake, and they used it for medicinal.
We actually have ceremony around maple tree. That's one of our spring ceremonies. Collecting the maple, and we have stories. Of course, we have stories with everything we do and all of our ceremonies, but there's an nice story about the maple tree and the woodpecker and how they gave each other. But what people don't know, a lot of people don't know, is that we also tap the shagbark hickory, and that gives sap as well.
Do you think there's anything we should add to this conversation?
I look forward to seeing whoever comes out and having a really nice time.
Yes, I think it'll be a beautiful day at Willow Wisp Organic Farm in July.
That sounds great, Rosie.
Loppy Canewilt.
The Peach Canewilt.
La Peach Canewilt, yes. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rosie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
FarmArtsCollective.org has more information on the Lenape Horticulture and Ethnobotany Workshop presented on July 6th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. All the proceeds from this workshop will go to the Lenape Nation of Pennsylvania.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. With Thursday being July 4th, let us look at three patriotic stars, one red, one white, and one blue. Our first stop in the sky will be the heart of Scorpius. Antares will be visible in the southern sky at nightfall and will be visible until 2 a.m. It is a first magnitude star 550 light years away. Antares is a supergiant who is near the end of its life and has swelled to 700 times the diameter of the sun. Antares will be the only red star in the southern sky, which will make it very easy to spot. Next, we will turn our gaze nearly directly overhead to the constellation Lyra. Vega is the brightest star in Lyra. It is a zero-magnitude star that will be shining white. Vega will be visible all night. Vega was the pole star several thousand years ago and will become the pole star again 12,000 years from now. Our last stop will be in the constellation Virgo. Spica is the brightest star in Virgo and lies 250 light years away. It will be visible in the southern sky at nightfall and will be visible until midnight. Even though it is the 16th brightest star in the sky, it can be a little hard to spot. We can use the Big Dipper to find Spica. Follow the handle stars as they arc to Arcturus, then speed down to Spica. See if you can spot this patriotic trio of stars this week. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
We hope that you enjoyed our show this week with production by Radio Catskill volunteers, Keith Hubbard and myself, Rosie Starr. Special thanks goes to our guests, Will-O-Wisp Organic Farmer Greg Schwartz, Farm Arts Collective founder Tanis Qualchuk, Chief Gentle Moon and Clan Mother Shelley from the Lenape Nation of Pennsylvania, and to Kazri Jackson for sharing her sentiments. Thanks for listening local to Farm and Country and supporting Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Listen on air and stream us live at wjffradio.org.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Now that we are on the other side of the presidential debate, how you doing? No, really, how are you? If you are in your feelings about the future of this country, know that you're not alone. I'm Kai Wright, and coming up on the next Notes from America, we hear your reactions to the debate, and we talk about how politics affects our mental health and how our emotions will affect the election. Sunday evening at 6, live on Radio Catskill.